This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to WRFL Lexington. It's now 4 o'clock, and you're listening to Green Talks, where we explore the people and projects that are using the environmental stewardship fee to promote sustainability in the UK community. I'm your host, Lauren Thomas, and I'm the current Director of Outreach for the Student Sustainability Council. The funding for the projects featured on our show comes from the Environmental Stewardship Fee, a $4 fee that every UK student pays along with tuition each semester. The ESF, which is expected to generate approximately $190,000 by the end of the school year, is distributed by the Student Sustainability Council, hereafter the SSC, for various projects that enhance the culture of sustainability here at the University of Kentucky. This week, I'm joined by Shane Tedder. He's the Sustainability Coordinator for the university, and he also oversees the Student Sustainability Internship Program, which we will be covering today. How are you?
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, Lori.
Yeah, thanks for coming. So can you give me a brief overview about what internship positions are going to be available for next year?
For sure. So this is we're recruiting for the third year of a totally revamped student internship program. It's done in partnership with the Tracy Farmer Institute for Sustainability and the Environment. So we're going to have 5 internship positions funded for next year. 3 of them focus on operational areas, and 2 of them will be paired with working groups from the Farmer Institute. So for the 5 positions that we're going to have for next year will be energy efficiency and conservation, waste reduction, recycling, and reuse, promotions and outreach for the Office of Sustainability, the Urban Forest Initiative Working Group, and the Water Systems Working Group. So those 5, and we can go into more depth on those later on probably, but those are the 5 areas that we'll be covering.
Awesome. So you mentioned some involvement from the Tracy Farmer Institute. Would you go into the sort of difference between them and the Office of Sustainability?
For sure. So with this particular project, 3 of the internships are funded by the Student Sustainability Council. And 2 of them are funded by the ISE, or Tracy Farmer Institute for Sustainability and Environment, hereafter ISE. And so they fund their 2 working group internship positions. But the Farmer Institute is based out of the Office for the Vice President for Research and is much more focused on faculty and research development than the Office of Sustainability, where I report to the Vice President for Facilities Management. So it's a good, we're kind of at the same level organizationally, but the Institute is more firmly embedded on the academic side, and I'm more firmly embedded on the operation side. But we cross over in several points, but that's the main difference. They're a cross-college entity, and their main goal is to facilitate interdisciplinary efforts of faculty on campus to create new approaches to various environmental and sustainability issues as they relate to today's grand challenge. And they define today's grand challenge as providing the food, energy, and water necessary to support an expanding global population in a sustainable manner in the face of a changing climate. And so one of the most visible things that the Farmer Institute does is sponsor these faculty working groups. And those working groups are organized around that grand challenge. They've got a built environment working group, a food systems, sustainable nanotech, which is an interesting one. And that's actually a really active group as well. I don't know a whole lot about what they're doing because nanotechnology is above my above my scientific understanding, but I know that they're a pretty active group. The Urban Forest Initiative Working Group, which has been one of their most active over the last couple of years, they've really taken great strides at kind of raising the profile of the trees on campus that comprise our urban forest, and and then a Water Systems Working Group.
Very cool. So you mentioned earlier that this is the third sort of revamped year of the program. Can you go into the history of the entire program and how we got to this point?
Oh, yeah. Wow. It goes back a long way. There was a program called SCIP, which is the Sustainable Campus Internship Program. I think the first year that SCIP offered internships was 2003, 2004. So I think those were the first student internship programs with sustainability in their name. That program was funded, I think, by, it was joint funded, the SCIP program possible. And the Gaines Center was also a key partner, and they provided some office space. And so until just a couple of years ago, there was still a sustainability office in the Commonwealth House of the Gaines Center. That program went on for a few years and gradually shifted over to being coordinated by the Office of Sustainability, which was created in 2009. And we had just less structure to the internship program, whereas now we recruit specifically to like five very defined areas. Mm-hmm. And then we pair interns with mentors in those areas. We can talk more about that in a minute when we talk about the structure of the positions. Back then, it was more, if you have an idea, pitch it, and you know, we'll select what we think are the most promising ideas and then hire you as an intern to pursue your individual idea. So, mm-hmm. So it was almost all creative development on the part of the students. And sometimes that works really well. So sometimes you have an incredibly capable applicant or student who comes with an idea whose time is right and it fits with what's going on campus, gets traction, and you're able to get something done in 12 months. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, it's the student maybe isn't as familiar with how processes work at UK in terms of getting things done, which can be like glacially slow sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or the project is something that had been tried before, so they're trying to reinvent the wheel, or they just don't have the institutional context to get the program off the ground and to see meaningful progress in a year. And part of with an internship, you really want it to, part of its, I guess, measure of success is how good it was for the student who was in that position. So, I mean, there's some work product that they do that enhances the university, but it also should be a learning experience for the students. And so took a hard look at the program in 2013, 2014, I guess, and said that the structure just wasn't setting students up for success consistently enough. And so mm-hmm. how can we restructure this so that student success rate in these internships is much higher. And I think in doing so, you know, pull in a bigger pool of excited applicants and really broaden the approach of it. So we really modeled our program after one at the University of Indiana. And theirs is still quite a bit larger than ours. We're averaging 5 to 6 interns a year. I think they do maybe 12 or 15 during the academic year and then close to 20 during a summer term. And we haven't experimented with the summer program yet, but mm-hmm. so that was really our model. And I guess if this is our second year, 15-16 was the first year for the revamped program. And the Student Sustainability Council and the Tracy Farmer Institute have been the two funding partners throughout. And then the Office of Sustainability, my office, serves kind of as overall program coordination.
Gotcha. So will you go into the responsibilities associated and the sort of logistics behind each of the upcoming internships?
So at a high level, the structure for each one of them is very similar. Your time is split between supporting the work of the mentor or the organization you're assigned with and developing an independent project. And so that does a couple things. One, we have these mentors, whether it's the recycling program or an academic working group, who agree to take on an intern. So you immediately have this mentor-intern relationship, which is great. And the interns can quickly learn from that mentor what's going on in that particular area of sustainability on campus. So they can learn kind of the history of recycling really quickly from the people who've been doing it. Mm-hmm. And then they also, by dedicating half their time to supporting that group, can boost the capacity. And so, you know, our interns are bringing new programs or providing additional support to the existing programs that are there. And then out of that, they kind of learn what's missing and what could be a new addition to that part of the campus and work with a mentor to develop an independent project that doesn't always end up being a new program on campus. A lot of times it's a feasibility study for could we do a program like this, or in some cases it is a brand new thing. So I really like the setup, and it seems to be working well for the interns that we've had. And you know, the position descriptions for each of the five that we're seeking applications for next year are pretty detailed. I don't know if I don't know if going into each one of those, like I feel like I would get a little monotony and wordy, but again, you know, it's recycling, energy, water, urban forest, and then promotions and outreach mm-hmm. are the five areas. And then in each of those areas, the intern would be supporting, spend about half their time supporting our existing programs and about half their time developing a new program in that area.
Right. So four of those five are staying the same from this year to next, but there is that difference in the fifth internship. Will you touch on that?
Yeah, and we could... So the working groups, the faculty working groups from the ISE, or the Tracy Farmer Institute, they've got six of them. And so each year, Rebecca, their director, approaches those working groups and just says, you know, who's ready for an intern? Who's got work that it would be beneficial to? And the Urban Forest Initiative has been going gangbusters. And so they've had plenty of work and have been very eager to mentor interns. And then she's just kind of rotated it through her other working groups. So we had Built Environment this year with Sarah Cooley in that role, and she's got a really neat project going with Doug Appler out of Historic Preservation. And then in our first year, we had three working groups, and I'm having a bit of a mental blank on naming all three of those for you, but Water Systems was there in the first year, and so they came to the table and said, yeah, we've got some exciting projects. We'd love to get an intern for this coming year. So, and we could do the same thing with the operations. We just haven't yet. So we've got a lot of work going on with energy and efficiency and conservation. We've got a lot of work going on with waste reduction. So it made sense to me to keep those consistent for this year as we recruit, as well as the promotions and outreach. And I'm a little selfish in that one. That one directly benefits my office, and I really wanted to keep that one because I think we've done a great job. And I should note that with you and filling the role of our promotions and outreach intern this year, it's really expanded the capacity of the office to communicate all the awesome stuff that's happening on campus.
And I love it. It's a really cool position. So there it is. So how long does the internship program last? I think that's a really unique part of this, as a sort of longevity aspect.
Yeah, it's an August to May program. And so it's a full school year. It's 8 to 10 hours a week of expected time that you put in. It's $10 an hour in terms of getting paid, so you get paid for it. We strongly encourage our interns to seek course credit, either through their departmental 399 or an EXP 395. There are some ways to get 3 hours of credit per semester. And I know in our first year, we had one student who actually got, she ended up getting 6 hours of experiential education credits in addition to getting paid to do the internship. So we strongly encourage that. So that's an added benefit of it. But the schedules are pretty flexible, but some of that depends on who you're paired with. And so, you know, I think Sarah Cooley's work with Doug is very self-directed.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cassie Odom's work with the recycling department is very structured. And, you know, yours is a balance of that, where you've got some office hours. So there's a lot of flexibility in it. So if you're listening and sustainability is something you're excited about and you want a paid job for next year, and flexible schedule is also exciting to you, I think this is a really neat opportunity.
Absolutely.
It's been pretty competitive. We've got five positions this year. We had five last year. I think we had 25 applicants last year for those five positions, and 30 the year before for the six positions. So it has been a competitive process.
That's awesome. So we are actually going to take a quick break, but we will be right back discussing more aspects of the 2017-2018 internship program. Keep it locked. Welcome back. It is now 4:15, and you are still listening to Green Talks. I'm Lauren Thomas, your host and the current director of outreach for the Student Sustainability Council. I am with Shane Tedder today. He is the sustainability coordinator for the university, and he's giving me an overview about the Student Sustainability Internship Program. So there's one really cool aspect to this that's new this
year. Just one?
Yeah, this is the only one. No, it's a really cool program, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's new to this year, and that's the site visits?
That's not new.
Oh, okay.
So the site visits are optional, and we had, last year we had two interns take the site visits, and so the way they're set up is we ask the interns to look within a half day's drive of Lexington, so like 6 hours. And find a campus or a community that has a program that they think would be an inspiration to their independent project. As we mentioned in the earlier segment, the internships, 50% of your time is spent supporting the work of the office you're assigned to or the group you're assigned to, and then 50% of your time is spent developing a new program. So the site visits are meant to make the development of the new program more exciting and also to let people get out and learn from best practices. And so we find funding, well, just have the funding built in to be able to fund the travel and an overnight stay and encourage the students to find a contact and, you know, coordinate a visit. So last year, Zach Tyler, who was our energy intern, went up into Ohio and visited a couple different spots that were doing, what's it called? It's like biodigestion, so like organic material fermenters making natural gas from either animal waste or food waste.
Awesome.
And then Elise McConnell traveled to, where'd she go? She went to the either North Carolina or Virginia.
Oh, wow. That's a...
To look into some community garden programs.
Oh, cool.
That were being offered at various programs there. So Elise worked with our graduate family community garden out at Shawneetown, looking at it from an anthropological perspective because there's so many different cultures represented at that garden. So it was a neat project, and I think the travel was beneficial to her. So I haven't heard from your cohort yet as to where people are planning on going or if they're planning on going anywhere. So, but yeah, the site visit's a neat part of it.
Yeah, for sure. So what would you say is one component that makes these most successful?
I think the relationships with the mentor organizations definitely make it definitely set the students up for success. And so, you know, the spending half of the time supporting the ongoing work is a great way to learn what's going on, what are our internal goals, what are the hurdles or the obstacles or the challenges that we face? And learning that through doing, I think really sets our interns up to be able to propose independent projects that are going to have traction and be very relevant and be high impact.
Gotcha. So looking at the application itself, what kind of qualities do you and the other mentors look for in an intern? Is there any particular major or characteristics that you guys point out or target?
No majors that are targeted. I mean, it's interdisciplinary for sure, and we've had a really wide range of degree programs represented in the applicant pool. So, so definitely no limitations there. You're looking for people who have demonstrated some initiative, some ability to see projects through, the ability to connect their academic studies to sustainability and to this particular area of sustainability. And so just being able to clearly communicate why they're interested in working in promotions and outreach relative to sustainability. I think your cover letter did a great job of making those connections with the degrees and the courses you were taking and what you hope to do after UK. And so tying, you know, the ability to tie all that together, why that internship is important to you, from a academic and career standpoint. I just said and I'm looking over at the sticker that says don't say and so it's like, oh, it got me. But I think that's one of the things that most stands out. I did it again.
It's a trap. It really
is. It is a trap. Being able to follow through. So demonstrating like good relationships with previous programs, like all that stuff is super important to you. But it's we want this to be an opportunity for students to gain experience as well. So you don't have to have had 3 years experience leading an organization. I mean, it is a competitive process, and so those folks with tons of experience do tend to rise to the top. But, you know, our recycling intern right now is Cassie Odom, and I think this is her first year at UK.
I think she might be a sophomore.
Sophomore.
We have two sophomores.
Year,
so
and didn't have a lot of involvement or things going for her. She just had a great application and interviewed really strong and is doing, I think, a great job.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's a really great building block, I think, for students.
I really hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, the job market's competitive, especially in sustainability, environmental fields.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a huge sector in terms of jobs. And so most of them require or ask, you know, what's your experience? And so hopefully this internship provides, you know, half dozen students a year with that. Well, I've had a year of working on these projects in real world, and I developed my own thing. And
yeah.
So I hope it's a differentiating factor as you guys head out and get real jobs.
Oh, scary. Very scary.
I had a long talk with this program's founder yesterday, Ellen Green, about that. She's headed out to Colorado this summer, I think, and is nervous and excited about the job market. But
I think
her experiences working with sustainability on campus definitely give her a leg up.
For sure. Most definitely. I don't think she needs one. She's great.
That's what I tried to tell her. She's pretty nervous.
So what is the application process like? What can people expect? What kind of questions do you ask of them?
Pretty simple. It's a web-based application form. So I encourage you to take a look at it and maybe develop especially your short answer responses on a Word document so that you can spend some time on them and then just copy and paste them into the fields on the web form. I think it's a pretty approachable application. It's not super in-depth, and I think the open-ended questions are, you know, 200-word, 500-word max, so they're not big. Not big essays or term papers. The application period is open for a while, so doesn't close until April 7th. So you've got, 6 weeks to apply or to think about applying, and then we will make the selections before the end of the school year so that folks know they've got the position lined up, and we'll try and meet with everybody before the end of the school year as well.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier that our program is modeled on, I think it was Indiana's.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what are the other sort of sustainability intern programs like across the country? Did you look at anyone else's?
You know, I really fixated on Indiana's.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education, ASHE for short, produced a guide on how to develop and run effective campus internships.
Mm-hmm.
And it was based on best practices from across the country and also universities of different sizes. So small privates to huge publics, and really looked at that a lot as we were developing and continue to run this program. And so specifically, the Indiana program is the one that we really looked at, but generally that ASHE guide, which consolidated a lot of different experiences, was also really helpful. You know, a lot of campuses have eco-rep programs that are a great entry-level sustainability opportunity for, a lot of times it's first-year students, second-year students who are living in campus residence halls. And so they become an eco-rep or a sustainability ambassador for that particular hall. And we have tried that program a couple times with varying degrees of success. We don't currently have an eco-rep or residential sustainability ambassador program running, but it's something that I'm completely open to. It's just got to find the right partnerships to sustain it.
Right. So that's actually all I have for you, unless there's any other sort of plug that you want to get out there about the internship program.
Well, if you're just tuning in, I'd say we've got five great paid opportunities to do high-impact work in sustainability at UK next year, and I hope you'll apply. I guess will you plug the website, or
yes.
Should I?
You will.
Okay, so I'll let Lauren plug the website. She's better at that. So yeah, we've got positions with the Water System Working Group, with Urban Forest Initiative Working Group, with Energy Efficiency and Conservation, Recycling and Waste Reduction, and then just generally promotions and outreach for all the different sustainability stuff. So those are the five positions we have. I'd love to see a huge applicant pool, and it's 8 to 10 hours a week that we expect of you. It's $10 an hour, and it runs from August to May. So take a look at our website, which Lauren's about to tell you about, and I hope you think about applying. If you have any questions, definitely contact me, shane.tedder@uky.edu or 257-0014, or if you just search sustainability on UK's website, my website will pop up and my contact info is on there.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, man, it's always a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Lauren.
Love it. You're a pro at this point. You're Green Talks pro.
Veteran. This may be my half dozen, maybe more show.
So. All right. For some closing announcements, as Shane mentioned, the applications for the 2017-2018 round of sustainability internships are open. They will be until April 7th. And you can find those at uky.edu/sustainability/student-internships. The applications for the Summer Sustainability Fellowships are also still open, and you can find those applications at uky.edu/UGResearch. The Student Sustainability Council, the funding body for some of these internships, is also accepting applications for both at-large members and organizational reps for the 2017-2018 Council. So you can find the information on applying or go ahead and apply at uky.edu/sustainability/student-sustainability-council. As always, any member of the University of Kentucky community can submit a proposal to the Student Sustainability Council to receive funding support from the Environmental Stewardship Fee. All SSC meetings are open to the public and are announced on our website. You can also like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at UKYSSC. I will be around next week featuring another installment of Green Talks, so thanks for listening and keep it locked.
Hey there! If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm. And, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to wrfl.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.